إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, there is no God for him. I bear witness that there is no deity to be worshipped in truth other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and servant. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O mankind, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul, and created from that soul its mate, and spread from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and respect the wombs that bore you. Indeed Allah is the Raqib over you. Indeed Allah is the Raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and seek the truth, in order that He may forgive you of your sins and improve your condition. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'd. The most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, the Qur'an, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of deeds are newly invented matters in the religion, and every newly invented matter in the religion is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is a mahalfa. We wanted to take this time today to introduce Islamic studies to the Masjid Allah in Plainfield, New Jersey. With that, we wanted to begin the verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, that the religion with Allah is Islam. That this Islam that we have embraced, this Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us to, is the religion of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about His religion, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. That this day I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor to you, and I've chosen for you Islam as a religion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after He has guided us to this Islam, this perfect, complete religion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should always be mindful to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this greatest blessing of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says about this Islam in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That whoever desires a religion other than Islam, and it will never be accepted of him, and in the hereafter, he will be among the losers. This is the Islam, inshallah ta'ala, that we want to talk about, that we want to study in the coming lessons, inshallah ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says about this Islam, Buniya al-Islam al-Khams. شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وحج البيت وصوم رمضان. فصاحب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم describes this Islam in a little more detail. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who has been entrusted to give the explanation of the Quran to humanity. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, confirming that, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, we have sent down to you the dhikr, the Quran, in order that you may explain it to the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this Islam, and He's told us that this is His religion and that this is the perfect religion, al-Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been entrusted to explain the Quran and to explain Islam. Said about Islam that Islam is based on five pillars: to bear witness that there is no God, that there is no deity that has the right to be worshipped in truth except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah; to establish the Salat and to pay the Zakat and to make Hajj to Mecca and to fast the month of Ramadan. This is the Islam that this Islamic study course, inshallah ta'ala, will be based upon. And we want to begin with the beginning of Islam, which is the Shahadatain, or the two declarations. As Islam is firstly built upon the statement that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first began with when he said, Shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. That there is no deity, that there is no God to be worshipped in truth other than Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. This Shahada is the basis of our deen, and upon declaring this statement, they became Muslim. And that is the difference between those people who are Muslim and those people who are disbelievers, is this Shahadatain and everything that this is built upon. Any deed that a human being does, before it is to be accepted in the sight of Allah, then it must fulfill two conditions. The first condition is that deed must be done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. That every deed, every saying, every belief that we hold, we cannot hold that belief or make that statement or do that deed except that it's done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second condition is that belief, that saying, and that deed must be in accordance with the deen of Allah as explained by the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So if any of us among humanity is to have his deeds acceptable in the sight of Allah, then he must fulfill those two conditions of having it done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah in accordance with the deen of Allah as explained by his Messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These two conditions are the basis of Islam, as they are the shahadatain: ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that I bear witness that there is no deity to be worshipped in truth other than Allah. That means that every belief, every saying, and every deed will be done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. That we're not going to take any belief, we're not going to make any saying or to perform any deed except that it's in accordance with what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought in the Quran and in his authentic sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These two conditions, that every deed, every belief, and every saying, and every deed must be based on, is based on the ayah in Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of Surah Al-Kahf, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. that whoever desires to meet his Lord, whoever desires to meet his Lord, to please his Lord, then let him do righteous deeds. Righteous deeds are those deeds in accordance with Allah's deen, has been expressed to the mankind by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, O mankind, I am the messenger of Allah to all of you. So this deed, these righteous deeds, must be done in accordance with what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought, because he is the messenger of Allah to humanity from the time he was sent to the time of the day of judgment. So that every belief and everything and every deed, if it is to be righteous, it is to be in accordance with Allah's deen as brought to humanity by the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever desires to meet his Lord, then let him work righteous deeds. And let him not ascribe any partners in the worship of his Lord. Let him not ascribe anyone as a partner in the worship of his Lord. That means that he shouldn't do, that he shouldn't hold any belief or make any statement or do any action or deed, except that that deed is done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he doesn't have any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that it is done for Allah the Al-Ahad. As we say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, say he, Allah is one. That the deeds we do are going to be solely and sincerely done for the sake of Allah. And don't ascribe anyone in worship with Allah. So this verse in Surah Al-Kahf, and there are many verses in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that if we choose to meet him, if we desire to meet him, if we desire to please our Lord who has given us life, then to please him is to work righteous deeds. Those are the deeds that are in accordance with his religion, al-Islam, as explained by his messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that the deeds must be done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah alone, and that it shouldn't be done for anyone else, because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from his servants if they are to please him. So this shahadatayn, this ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, those two statements upon which Islam is built on, these are also the statements that when we live up to them, we know that the beliefs that we hold and the statements that we say and the deeds that we perform are all in accordance to that shahadatayn. That we don't do any, that we don't hold any belief, make any statement, or do any practice, except that it's done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah in accordance with his deen, that which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought. So if someone is to be sincere and to do an act for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not to perform that act except for Allah, not to make that statement except for Allah, not to hold that belief except for Allah, but it's not in accordance with the deen of Allah, the deen of Islam, the Islam that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to mankind, if that deed isn't done in accordance with this deen, then it won't be accepted in the sight of Allah, because Allah was telling us in the verse, whoever desires to meet his Lord, then let him work righteous deeds, those deeds that are in accordance with his deen, and that he shouldn't ascribe any partners with Allah in that worship. Likewise, if someone is to perform a deed, or to make a statement, or to hold a belief, and that belief is in accordance with the deen of Allah al-Islam, that which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought, but he's not doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, but he's doing it to please the people, or he's doing it for some type of movement or something, then that deed also, Jazakallahu khairan, then that deed also is not acceptable in the sight of Allah. But if we are to have our belief, if we are to have our statements and our deeds and practices acceptable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they have to fulfill those two conditions of the shahadatayn, being done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah in accordance with his deen, the deen that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought, called al-Islam. The shahadatain is all throughout the Quran. As we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa ati'u ar-rasul. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey His Messenger. This deen is based on doing things sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah and according with that which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing when He's telling us, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey His Messenger. And that there are many verses in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is establishing obedience to Him and to His Messenger. As He says in another verse, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tuqaddimu bayna yaday Allah wa rasulihi wa taqullah inna Allah sami'un alim. O you who believe, do not decide an affair in your lives. Don't hold a belief. Don't make a statement. Don't do a practice or a deed until you know that it is in accordance with the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah and fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is the Sami' al-Alim, the hearing, the knowing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in this Quran, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. That it is not befitting for a believing man or a believing woman, once Allah and His Messenger has decided an affair, that they have a choice in that affair. If Allah and His Messenger has established a belief for us, we don't have a choice to take another belief. If Allah and His Messenger has established for us a statement, then we don't have any right, any choice in choosing another statement except the statements of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we want to do a practice, to perform any deed, anything that will get us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then once Allah and His Messenger has established a practice or a deed, then we don't have any choice in the matter in practicing other than that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say at the end of the verse, and whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has gone far astray. So this shahadati, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, there are many verses in the Quran telling us to obey Allah and to obey His Messenger. Obey Allah and obey His Messenger. Obey Allah and obey His Messenger, and there is no difference whatsoever in obeying Allah or in obeying His Messenger, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ عَطَاءَ اللَّهِ. That whoever obeys the Messenger has obeyed Allah. That whoever has obeyed the Messenger, then he has obeyed Allah. So there is no difference whatsoever in obeying Allah and obeying His Messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Lord, and we don't worship anyone other than Him. That we don't worship Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we worship Allah alone, and we believe, and we say, and we practice everything sincerely and solely for Allah's sake. It's just that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants those beliefs and those statements and those practices to be in accordance with His deen, the deen that He sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with, to triumph over all of the religions. This is, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says, كلكم تدخلون الجنة إلا من أبا. The companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ومن يأبى يا رسول الله. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, من أطاعني دخل الجنة, من أطاعني دخل الجنة, ومن أطاعني فقد أبى. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all of you will enter Jannah. All of you will enter paradise, except the one who refuses. The companions who were very eager to enter Jannah, couldn't imagine who will refuse to enter the paradise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stored up for his believers as a reward. Who will refuse, O Messenger of Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever obeys me enters Jannah, and whoever disobeys me refuses. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this authentic hadith, is explaining to us that obedience to him is that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's just emphasizing the point that we are to obey Allah and to obey the Messenger, just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in his farewell khutbah, أيها الناس تركت فيكم أمرين لن تضلوا ما إن اعتصمتم بهما كتاب الله وسنتي. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the believers in his farewell khutbah on Arafat called Hajjatul Wada', O mankind, I have left you with two things that if you hold firmly to them, you will never go astray: the Book of Allah, the Book of Allah, and my Sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that he left two things that if we held tightly to them, we'll never go astray: the Book of Allah and his Sunnah. That is the shahadatain: Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, the Book of Allah, doing things sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah. The Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, that I bear witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. When we bear witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, we are bearing witness that there is no belief, that there is no statement, that there is no deed to be performed in Islam, except that it's in accordance to the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise that belief and that statement and that practice is to be done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Every Muslim knows that this Islam is based on the shahadatain, and that this Islam is based on what is found in the Quran and found in the Sunnah. And we want to add here, and it may seem like it's a fine point, and it is a fine point, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his almighty wisdom, he didn't take the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leave it on a mountain and announce to mankind, whoever among mankind comes across this Quran and this Sunnah on the mountain, then let him pick it up and read it and follow it. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just didn't send down the Quran by itself firstly, but he sent the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to explain that Quran to mankind, as he says, inna anzalna ilayka dhikra litubayyana linnasi ma nuzila ilayhim, that we have sent down to you the reminder, the Quran, in order that you may explain it to mankind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just send that Quran down and leave it there for anyone to come across it to just pick it up and work by it, but he sent the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to explain that Quran to the people, that the Quran at times is very general. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his Messenger Muhammad to explain that Quran to mankind, that it's not the job of any one of us to just pick up the Book of Allah and to explain it and to understand it any way we see fit. Because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in that Quran that he has sent the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to explain that Quran to mankind. And just take an example to see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, and to establish salah. How are we to establish the Salatul Maghrib that is about to come? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell us that one of the five salah is Maghrib, and that Maghrib comes in when the sun sets, and that Maghrib is to be three rak'ahs, and that the first two of those three are to be recited by the Imam, and the last the first two of the three are to be recited by the imam aloud, and that the second one is just to read the Surah Al-Fatiha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, establish salah. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His wisdom, He just didn't leave the sunnah, the explanation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be left alone. That it can be collected in books and dropped there, and anyone can pick it up and say, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and take it on his understanding or the way he feels it means, and pass it on to the people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His mighty wisdom, chose companions to be the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to take this perfect completed religion, this explained religion by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to take that Islam and to understand it and to pass it on. Those companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have a high place in Islam, and this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, that you are the finest ummah raised up for the mankind. That the companions of Allah, that the companions of the Messenger of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them to be the finest ummah raised up for the people, to be a shining example for the people. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, فَإِنْ آمَنْتُمْ بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنُوا بِهِ فَقَدْ اهْتَدَوْا, that if you believe in that which they believed in, referring to the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will be guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, referring to the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ, that Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. These are the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the people who took the deen as it was explained from the Quran with explanation of the sunnah. They took that and understood it, and they passed it on to the generations after them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points that this Quran and this sunnah should have the understanding of those companions, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقَ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَأَتْ مَصِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, whoever opposes the Messenger after clear guidance has come to him and follows a path other than the path of the believers, and the first believers are the companions of the Messenger of Allah, then we will turn him to that which he has turned himself to, and then turn him to the hellfire or what an evil abode. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it could have been sufficient for him to say, and whoever opposes the Messenger after clear guidance comes to him, then we will turn him to that which he has turned himself to. But Allah with His wisdom added and follows a path other than the path of the believers. And the path of the believers, the first believers, they're the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to when he said to us, فَتَفْتَرِكُ أُمَّتِي عَلَى 73 فِرْقَةً كُلَّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدَةً قيل وما الواحد يا رسول الله قال ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in an authentic hadith that my ummah will be divided into 73 sects, all of them being in the hellfire except one. When he was questioned which one of those, he said, the one that practices what I'm practicing today and my companions. So this Quran and Sunnah that we follow, we are to follow it the way that the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practiced it. Because just as Allah had chosen His Messenger Muhammad to explain the Quran, He chose the companions of Muhammad to explain to mankind the Sunnah with the explanation of the Quran from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that those people passed it on to the next generation, and they passed it on to the next generation, and they passed it on all the way
to our generation. So this Quran and Sunnah that we follow, we take it with the understanding that was passed down generation after generation for 1,400 years all the way up to our generation. And that this is the way that we live up to our shahadatayn, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. That we take this Quran from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his speech and the sunnah of his messenger, and we practice it the way that the first generations practiced it. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that the ummah will be divided. That there will come a time when the people who follow the Quran and the sunnah will deviate a little bit. And the Prophet ﷺ explained that the people who will remain on the truth are the people who are practicing that which the Prophet ﷺ is practicing and his companions. And it could have been sufficient also for the Prophet ﷺ just to say, whoever is practicing what I'm practicing, when the Muslims, some of them have gone astray, then it's the ones that are practicing that which I am practicing. If he said it, it would have been the truth. Because the Prophet ﷺ doesn't speak on his own desires. He only speaks from revelation revealed to him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا يَنطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about his messenger, and he doesn't speak from his own desires, that he speaks from revelation revealed to him. From that revelation, the Prophet ﷺ added that whoever is practicing what I am practicing and his companions. And this is what he goes on to say in another authentic hadith, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. That the best of mankind is my generation, the companions, then the generation that followed them, then the generation that followed them. And in another narration of this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, who is the best of mankind? And he said, أَنَا وَالَّذِينَ مَعِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ عَلَى الْأَثَرِ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ عَلَى الْأَثَرِ. He said, I am the best of mankind and those people who are with me, and then the people that follow them, then the people that follow them. So this Quran and the Sunnah that has been passed down generation after generation, we are to take the understanding of this Quran and Sunnah that was passed down generation after generation, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points to in his Quran, and as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sunnah points to. We've taken our shahada and we've entered into the deen of Allah, al-Islam. We know that this deen of Allah is a complete way of life, a total way of life, that it covers every aspect of life, and that this is why it's the greatest blessing that Allah has blessed us with after giving us life. That He has blessed us with this religion of Islam, that it covers every aspect of our lives, from putting on our shoes to using the bathroom, to making salat, to making dua, to making hajj, to traveling, to politics, to to our money systems and banking systems, that Islam covers every facet of life. In that light, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to learn this deen, because the knowledge of this deen is vast. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say, do those people who know, are they like the people who don't know? Rather, the people who know are not like the people who don't know. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, know, have knowledge that there is no deity, that there is no God to be worshipped in truth except Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging us to learn, because He knows that His deen is best. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in that light, encouraging us to learn this deen, he said, طالب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. That seeking knowledge is an obligation, it is compulsory on every single Muslim. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here in this hadith, he's encouraging us, and this authentically reported hadith on him, that he's encouraging us to learn this deen, because the knowledge of this deen is vast. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a very profound hadith that has been authentically reported on him, shows the importance of this knowledge. That this knowledge that is incumbent upon us on seeking knowledge, it's the knowledge of the religion of Islam and not just the everyday knowledge. Why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُبْغِضُ كُلَّ عَالِمٍ بِالدُّنْيَا جَاهِلٌ بِالْآخِرِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah ta'ala, Allah the exalted, Allah ta'ala hates every knowledgeable person of the affairs of this world, and he's ignorant of the affairs of the hereafter. When we go to the universities in America to be educated, when we go out to be doctors and lawyers and engineers, all of this is good because we need engineers to help build our society. We need doctors to cure the people, and we need many other things to form the community, to exist as humanity on earth. But learning those things and not learning the things of the hereafter, the things of the religion of Islam, then Allah hates that person. So in this hadith, it's clear that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is encouraging us to learn, to seek the knowledge of this deen, and that the knowledge of these worldly affairs is a second type of seeking knowledge. But that the first knowledge that we've all been commanded to seek is the knowledge of this deen. And alhamdulillah that Allah has blessed us here tonight to come out to try to learn the knowledge of this deen. And that is, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, خَيْرُكُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ خَيْرُكُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ إِذَا فَقُهُ. That the best among you in the days of ignorance, in jahiliyyah, he's the best among you in Islam if he has an understanding of this religion. That if we were okay in jahiliyyah, we stayed away from the vices of this society, and we accepted Islam, then we will be just as good in Islam if we have an understanding of this deen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is encouraging us to learn this deen. As he says, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. That whoever Allah desires good for, He'll give him knowledge of this religion. He'll give him understanding of this religion. We have to seek the knowledge of this religion because this religion is a total way of life. This religion with Allah is perfect, complete religion. This religion that is a total way of life. This religion that the knowledge of it and the understanding of it is vast. We have to seek the knowledge of the religion. وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. This is a part of what we wanted to present today. I see that the time is the time for Maghrib. So after Salatul Maghrib, inshaAllah, we will talk in brief about the type of knowledge that we are to seek when seeking the knowledge of this deen. We're saying that the knowledge of this deen is vast. But in general, the knowledge of this deen falls into basic categories. First being, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that we bear witness that there is no deity to be worshipped in truth other than Allah, then we have to know who is Allah. Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord? We have to know that Allah is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, that He's the compassionate and the merciful. And we know that He's the Ghafoor and the Razzaq, that He's the forgiving and the provider. We have to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Secondly, we need to know the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because we say, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. So we need to know the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to know about Allah our Lord, who He is and what He has us to believe in and disbelieve in. Then we need to know the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we can know how to live out and how to practice Islam and our everyday lives. And then, thirdly, the emphasis in Islam is on the character. That as Muslims, that as people who hold the two shahadas of Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. We are the people to call humanity to Islam, and we are to call humanity to Islam with a good character. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِيُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمُ الْأَخْلَاقِ, that I have only been sent to perfect the character. As if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't sent to do anything other than to perfect the character of the people. So when we learn this deen of Islam, this knowledge that we have to seek, this knowledge that is incumbent upon us to seek, we know that it's a knowledge of who our Lord is, and what He has us to believe in, and what He has us to disbelieve in. And then secondly, the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, what does it entail so that we can practice this deen, and then to be on a good character in order that we can spread this deen out to Islam. Wa sallallahu ala rasulillah.
The religion of Allah. And that in studying the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we're going to emphasize on what we began with when we say that this Islam is based on the Shahada thing, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no God, no deity to be worshipped in truth other than Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. That putting emphasis on Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, this is what Allah did when He made the very first commandment in the Quran. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His Quran, O mankind, I command you to worship Allah, the one who created you and created those who came before you, in order that you may be God-fearing, in order that you may have taqwa. And this taqwa, or God-fearing, in Islam means to obey Allah and believe in Him and to obey the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the very first commandment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in his Quran al-Kareem is Ubudullah, worship Allah. And this is the purpose of our creation, as He says, worship Allah, the one who created you. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me. So first we have the very first commandment in the Quran where Allah says, I command you to worship Allah, the one who created you. And in here, in Surah Al-Zariyat, which is towards the end of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, and I have not created the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me. This worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is establishing the tawheed of Allah. To understand how Allah is alone in His creation, in His creating. How Allah is alone in His creating. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone in being the only one to be worshipped. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone with His attributes, His lofty attributes and characteristics, and His beautiful names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that our purpose on life is to worship Him, to believe in Him properly, to understand what He wants from us. So this is the first purpose of our creation, and this is what we're going to emphasize, inshallah, in our lessons. That when we say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that we're going to know our Lord Allah in more detail. That we're going to seek knowledge of knowing that Allah is Kareem, that Allah is Al-Fattah, all of the beautiful names of Allah and the characteristics of Allah. And we're going to know what Allah has us to believe in, as we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has us to believe in Him and to believe in His angels and to believe in His messengers, and to believe in His revelations, His inspired books, and to believe in the predestination, the good of it and the bad of it. So we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has us to believe in things, and we want to know how to believe in those things. We want to take it just a step further, to be a little more detailed when we say that we believe in Allah, that we can know who Allah is in a little more detail. When we say we believe in the messengers of Allah, that we can know in a little more detail who were those messengers, what people they were sent to, what were the problems of their people, just like we can know in a little more detail about the angels. How many angels did Allah create? Where are those angels at? What are the duties of those angels? That we can begin to learn our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the belief in this deen, in a little detail. For that, we have chosen a short thesis on the compulsory belief of every Muslim, written by Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani, the African. The reason we chose this thesis is because it's very detailed in the beliefs that every Muslim should have. Though it's detailed, it's very brief. We chose this because the scholar that wrote this lived over well over 1,000 years ago. So he's closer to the source, closer to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he lived in a time where Islam was great in the world. I chose it for another reason, that I was happy and honored to be able to teach this class here in Plainfield, because I'm born and raised in Plainfield. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he sends a messenger to a people, not saying I'm a messenger, but when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends his messengers to people, he sends them to their people. Until he sent the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, he sent to all of mankind. But that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, Allah entrusted those people who followed the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the messengers to humanity, to spread the message of Islam, to proclaim the message of Islam to humanity. Being that I'm from here, it pleases me to give the lesson to my own people. Just as I chose this thesis, because we know that the origin of us as a people was from the west coast of Africa. And this scholar that I've chosen his thesis, Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani, is one of the greatest scholars that West Africa has ever seen. So maybe we could be descendants from him, and we don't know. So in this light, we chose someone that may be from our descendants to have a thesis written on the beliefs of Islam, and though it's entitled The Beliefs of His Beliefs, that in fact they are the beliefs of Islam, but that the name was given to it, given the beliefs of Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani, because he is the one that detailed those beliefs. And those beliefs, as we're going to see, they're the beliefs of the Quran and the authentic Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That will be, inshallah, the basis of the lesson. As we said, that would be Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Then we have Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. We're going to also add to our lessons a part of the fiqh of Islam, the practicality of Islam. How do we live Islam in our lives? So inshallah ta'ala, we're going to try to take every week things that face us in our lives, we want to take some of those things so we can know how to do them in accordance to Islam. Most of us were raised living the life of jahiliyyah, living the life of ignorance, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called us to His deen, and we answered His call, and we believed in Him, and we believed in His messenger, and we want to obey Allah and to obey His messenger, because inshallah ta'ala, we are people who love Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet in the Quran, say to the people, say, if you love Allah, then follow me, the Messenger of Allah. Allah will love you and forgive you of your sins. So we want to know how to practice this Islam in our lives, and that is following the Messenger of Allah, so that we can fulfill, so that we can be true to the statements on our tongues when we say we believe in you Allah, we love you Allah, and we love your religion, and we want to follow your religion. This religion is a wise religion, and the knowledge of this religion is vast, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us successful in seeking that knowledge. Though this knowledge is vast, it isn't a burden on anyone. It isn't a burden on anyone, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. That Allah doesn't burden the soul except that He has ability to bear it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. And fear Allah as much as you're able to. And that is exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said when he said, إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ فَاتُّ مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ وَإِذَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. The Prophet is telling us, if I have commanded you to do anything, then do it as much as you're able to. And if I prohibit you from something, then stay away from it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said about this deen, this beautiful deen, إِنَّ الدِّينَ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about this deen, إِنَّ الدِّينَ يُسْرٌ وَلَنْ يُشَادَّ هَذَا الدِّينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, indeed, this deen, this way of life, this Islam, is easy. And no one will overdo it, being too strict, transgressing the bounds, going over top of Allah and His Messenger, except that it will overtake him, that it will subdue him, that it will conquer him, that this religion is an easy, simple religion, and we do our best to learn of it as much as we can, and Allah hasn't burdened our soul, except that He has the ability to bear that burden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Allah only wants ease for you, and He doesn't want any difficulty for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this religion, al-Islam, for humanity to be the final religion, and He made it an easy religion. He made it an easy religion, and He didn't want any difficulty in it for us. And alhamdulillah, that the more we've learned of this religion, and the more we understand this religion, and the more we practice this religion, we see that there is no way of life to be lived as easy and as simple as this religion of Islam. We just have to be mindful of ourselves, that we have to submit to this religion, submit to Allah, willingly and sincerely, and to live out this religion of Islam. That each and every time we learn a new belief, that we learn a new statement, whether it's in the form of a dhikr or a dua, whether we learn a new practice, we implement it in our lives. And that it is easy to implement Islam, because you can't learn Islam overnight. Islam is a process, that each and every day we're constantly learning something new, learning a new belief, learning a new statement, learning a new practice. We're always trying to perfect our deen, constantly striving to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're going to take this thesis that details our belief, and then we're going to add to it, inshallah, the understanding, the practical application of this religion in everyday affairs of our lives, so that we can please Allah in both our beliefs and statements and in our deeds. And also, we're going to take a portion of the course, inshallah, to emphasize the importance of perfecting the character. There's no way in the world we're going to be pleasing in the sight of Allah until we perfect our character. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was on the finest character, as Allah says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And certainly you, referring to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and certainly you, or on magnificent character. And that we as Muslims should strive to be on the character of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that character is the Quran. As Aisha, one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the daughter of the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr the Siddiq, and one of the mothers of the believers, Aisha radiallahu anhu described the Prophet's character as the Quran. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's character is the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's character is the finest character, as Allah says, that you are on a magnificent character. And that alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him an example for us to follow. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهُ كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, certainly you have the finest example in the Messenger of Allah for those who believe in Allah, who desire the reward of Allah, and believe in the hereafter, and remember Allah often. I may be misquoting, I may be making a mistake in this verse. If so, in the 33rd chapter called Al-Ahzab, and I think it's verse number 18 or verse number 21 or somewhere around there. But now I'm having a little doubt that I quoted this verse exactly the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So there's a mistake, and it's from me in quoting this verse. So we want to take a portion of our class to look at the character that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the believers to have in His Quran, as He details some of the characters that a Muslim should have. And some of the, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the finest example. And we're going to look at the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and take some of the things from His sunnah that can help us to perfect our character in order that we can live up to the verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةً يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. And let there be among you a group of people, a ummah that calls to good. We want to be among that ummah, among that group that Allah commands His ummah to the ummah of the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come out of. We want to be that ummah that has a good character, calling people to the good. And that good is al-Islam, the complete religion, the religion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That verse that I was doubting about in Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah number 33, the verse is verse number 21, and it goes after I say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Allah says, لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخرة وذكر الله كثيرا. Inshallah, I think I quoted it the way it was. So our lesson, inshallah, we're going to cover belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we're going to take at the way we practice this Islam in our lives, and then we're going to look at the character of a Muslim, in order that inshallah we will cover this deen, because it's a well-rounded deen, so that we can be well-rounded, righteous Muslims that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I also wanted to make a point that when we study this deen, we're going to come into some differences of opinion, and there's no escaping that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّهُ, that they will never cease to be differing except for the ones who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows His mercy on. So sometimes we're going to have a difference of opinion, and that there's no escape, because we're human beings, and Allah says about the human beings, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ ضَعِيفًا, that humanity, human beings, have been created weak. So because of our deficiencies and our deen and our understanding, that there will be differences, and there is no escape from it except for the ones who Allah shows His mercy on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the merciful, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, He has been merciful to us by sending the verse down when He says, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being merciful to us, said in the Quran, if you differ in anything, then take your differences back to Allah, meaning the book of Allah, the Quran, and back to the Messenger, meaning to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if indeed you believe in Allah in the last day, and that is better for you as a final decision. So when we come to a difference of opinion, and maybe there's no escape from a difference of opinion, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, as he has not left anything out when He perfected this religion, He told us how to view those differences of opinion. As He tells us, if you differ in anything, then take it back to Allah, the Book of Allah, and to the Messenger, the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied. Notice that the Prophet doesn't speak on his own desire. So when he prophesies something, his prophecy is the truth. And he says, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَى اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ.
The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever among you lives will see many differences of opinion. And for sure we have seen many differences of opinion. He went on to say, for you must follow my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided companion. So we're going to keep this in mind always, that when we're studying Islam and we come across a difference, we take it back to Allah and His Messenger. Sometimes, even after we do that, there's no escape but to differ. That side takes it back to Allah and His Messenger, and this side takes it back to Allah and His Messenger, and they still differ. Sometimes, and this is very rare, but even that happens. As we know that one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked into the masjid and found the companions arguing pertaining to the meaning of a verse in the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, "Iqra'u al-Qur'ana ma talafat alayhi qulubukum wa idha ikhtalaftum faqumu." Read the Quran so long as your hearts agree that it has that one meaning. And if you differ, then disperse. If we come to an issue, we try to look at what Allah and His Messenger says in that issue, and then we have no escape except to differ, then we disperse. That we don't get angry at one another or upset with one another, but we believe that there's no one among us except that he has not chosen a position, except that he believes that it's the truth, that he believes that it's what Allah and His Messenger wants from him. And so long as we see that, then inshallah in our studies, if we keep in our mind that there's no escape from differing, and then when we differ, we take it back to Allah and His Messenger, and that even at times at that, where we remain to differ, we just disperse and we don't let that difference enter into our hearts as to hate one another. Another thing that we'll have to take a look at that is very important in our studies is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said when he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَكَثْرَةَ الْحَدِيثِ عَنِّي فَمَنْ قَالَ عَلَيَّ excuse me إِيَّاكُمْ وَكَثْرَةَ الْحَدِيثِ عَنِّي فَمَنْ يَقُلْ فَلْيَقُلْ صِدْقًا أَوْ حَقًّا وَمَنْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيَّ مَا لَمْ أَقُلْ فَلْيَتَبَوَّأَ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, beware of narrating too many hadiths on me. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, beware of narrating too many hadiths. But if you have to, then be truthful and sincere. Because whoever says about me that which I haven't said, then he has a seat prepared for him in the hellfire. On our lessons, we know that the Quran has been preserved. We also know that the Sunnah has been preserved. Because Allah says in the Quran, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafizun. That we have sent down the reminder, the dhikr, revelation, and we are the preservers of it. So both the Quran and the Sunnah are preserved. Jazakallahu khaira. However, the enemies of Islam were afraid from attacking the Quran, so they went and tried to attack the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by inventing lies on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in our lessons, inshallah, we're going to be mindful of only narrating what has been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and pointing out and warning people from that which has not been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as we mentioned earlier today, طالب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. He said that seeking knowledge is incumbent on every Muslim, compulsory on every Muslim.
there's a fabricated lie on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that has been spread around. Seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. That hasn't been reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we never say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that for fear that we may fall into what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said when he said, "Man haddatha hadithan anni wa huwa yura annahu kadhibun fa huwa ahad al-kadhibin." That whoever narrates a hadith and he's not sure, he doesn't know for certain that it's been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he doesn't know if it's a lie on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not, and narrates it anyway, then he's one of the two liars. The one who invented the lie on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and him himself for spreading that lie on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, this is the way we'd like to structure our class, and these are the things we like to present in our class. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us successful in presenting what we have to present, and to make our intentions purely and sincerely for His sake alone. And that if there was any mistakes in what you've heard today, then they're from me, and I'm not trying to run from the blame, but I take the blame for the mistakes that I commit, and I seek forgiveness in Allah for committing those sins, but it's just from my own weakness and from the lack of knowledge that I have. And if anything was good and correct from what I said, then it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
It's not a question per se. What is your name? Your full name? How would you like to be called?
My name is Abu Muslima. That's my kunya, meaning I'm the father of Muslima, my oldest child, who's a daughter. I'm Abu Muslima Abdullah, the son of Michael Stuart Tobias, the son of Albert Tobias At-Tawfiq. I'm Abu Muslima Abdullah At-Tawfiq. And I'm the son of Michael Tobias, who's the son of Albert Tobias. I just wanted to, before if there are any other questions, just to make a note that the imam was exaggerating when he said, Sheikh. But we know that he was sincere and that he meant well for his brother in Islam. But I'm not a sheikh in Islam, I'm just a student of knowledge. And I'm happy that Allah blessed me to learn a little bit more than maybe some of the people in this masjid, and that He has blessed us with the chance to pass on the little we know to the people who we're from.
When you made the statement that there would be 73 groups or sects of believers, and that only one would see the Jannah, or that the rest would be into the hellfire. It that seems like there's only a very, very small group that would qualify or inshallah be accepted into the Jannah.
This hadith that has been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his ummah will be divided into 73 sects, all of them being in the hellfire except one, and that one being the one who practices what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam practiced and his companions. Whether, because it's 72 sects, whether they're the majority or the minority, the hadith isn't pointing to that. Because it could be that the majority of us fall into the category of those who practice what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam practiced when Allah completed the deed, and that which his companions practiced. And maybe the majority of the people will be practicing other than that. And to make a note, and inshallah it's going to come in a later lesson, that some of the Muslims, because of their disobedience, because of some of their deviant beliefs in Islam, that they will be Muslims who will enter the hellfire. And there are many authentic hadith on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that tells us this. However, those Muslims, so long as they're from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so long as they are among those people who believe in that Islam that won't be, that there is no other religion that will be accepted from humanity, accepted, then they will always enter Jannah. Because whoever says La ilaha illallah sincerely in his heart, then he enters Jannah. Here we're going to try to focus on our lessons to that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on and his companions, and constantly strive to be among that group, that one group that will go to Jannah, that group that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about in a hadith when he says, وَلَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِنْ أُمَّتِي عَلَى الْحَقِّ مَنْصُورِينَ, that there will never cease to be a group, a party from among my ummah, practicing the truth, and they are victorious. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those Muslims that believe in Him and obey Him and follow the guidance of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the examples that was set by His companions.
Could you repeat the name of the scholar from West Africa? I didn't get his full name. You mentioned that he'd been Abi Zaid, or could you?
The scholar's name who wrote the thesis is Ibn Abi Zayd Al-Qirawani. We have translated the thesis, alhamdulillah, by Allah's permission, and we've had it typed out, but that there were just a few errors in it. So inshallah, at the next class, we're going to have a copy of it. And when we begin, we're going to do a brief sketch on the life of Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani, inshallah ta'ala.